look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are joined by Pastor Billy Crone, getalifemedia.com. You know, I just love that name, Get a Life Media. How many times have I wanted to say, just get a life to people? You know, most of the times, not in love. And I'll admit that. I'm a sinner. I need to repent. However, you know, sometimes in love, get a life, because sometimes we really need to see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is, in fact, what Pastor Billy Crone is giving us today. And I just, if I can give a shout out, I had such a great time. You weren't there, you missed it, Joe. I think you were, I don't know what you were doing.
I was getting signatures for the,
That's right. Okay. But, to talk with Billy Crone, Pastor Billy Crone, in my mind, to sit there and have a conversation with him, was one of the greatest. I mean, it was a highlight of my weekend at Dallas at here at the Washburn Conference, because he is such a just a gift. Really, he's a gift. And if I lived like if he was my neighbor, I'd be over at his house every single day. Okay, he's an easy guy to get along with, an easy guy to talk to, and a knowledgeable man. And I really respect this man, Pastor Billy Crone, Good Life Media. And please, folks, visit and support his efforts in ministry and his support what he does in any way possible. We certainly back Pastor Billy Crone. Pastor Crone, before the break, you were talking about something when we so rudely interrupted you. So if you want to continue with that.
Yeah, basically, back to the issue of the secondary issues. And again, the mark of maturity is to agreeably disagree on secondary issues, not divide. Because there's bigger fish to fry, people are dying and going straight to hell, and we need to work together as Christians and go down swinging for Jesus, you know, that he'd come back and find his faithful and not arguing over secondary issues. But what I do now, a common practice, you know, if it's the first time I've talked about a secondary issue with somebody, hey, let's talk about it, right? Second time, third time. But if we're into like, okay, are you serious? Number 10, 15 times now we're talking about this? You haven't changed my mind, I haven't changed yours. Okay, maybe I'll engage again, maybe I'll invest another half hour or hour or whatever. But before we do that, and here's typically what I ask. I said, let's talk about two questions first. As Christians, because, you know, we want good fellowship, and that's what we're supposed to do, to encourage one another, spur each other on towards good deeds, as Scripture says, you know, as the day approaches. And so let's talk about these two questions first. Then maybe we'll get into that secondary issue again. Okay, number one, how's your walk with Jesus Christ? Is it holy? Is it reflective of him? Number two, this week, how many people have you led to Jesus? Can we talk about that? Oh, no. See, this is why I think sometimes it's escapism, Christian escapism. It's a whole lot easier to talk about that secondary issue than to see how your life is doing. Mm-hmm. Is it reflecting? Be ye holy as I am holy, right? And by the way, it's not about you. Scripture says it's not about you. You've been bought with a price. It's not even your life. It belongs to Jesus now. We're his hands, his feet, his eyes. And he's told us to get out there. It's not the great suggestion. It's the a great commission, right? Get out there as his hands and feet, his mouthpiece, his eyes, his ears, and get busy sharing the gospel. Let's talk about that. I'll blow an hour on that easy, right? But again, I think it's just sad because, again, it keeps us from being divided from the task at hand. This could be the greatest spiritual revival in the history of the church. We have technology at our fingertips that the early church must have would probably roll over in their graves if they see what we have at our fingertips. Such ease to share the gospel around the world 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, relatively inexpensive. We should be working together. There should be so many souls being saved that 95% number should be reversed. Okay, but it's not, because we're playing games and we're falling for spiritual warfare. Anyway, so that's my spiel.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for addressing that issue, and I really appreciate the spirit in which you addressed that. Now, if we can kind of go back to something, this is, Pastor, this is something that I believe, and I always say on our programs, that America has been captured from within. I truly believe that we have been captured from within by a globalist agenda, by a globalist Luciferian elite power structure. But part of that, and an integral part of that, is Islam. Because at the beginning of the program, and by the way, folks, Pastor Crone is generously giving us a lot of his time. He more time than he actually had, and I just want to say thank you publicly to him. And one more thing, Pastor Crone, this is kind of a side note here. Larry says hello. He attends your church, and he wanted me to say that you're the best. He said, Pastor Crone, for anyone, you know, anyone doubting this program, Pastor Crone preaches what should be preached, and he wants to thank you for being the true watchman. Larry, he's coming. He'll be seeing you shortly. So, anyway. So, fantastic. So, having said the fact that we've been captured from within, we've got Muslim infiltration, just like we had communist infiltration back during the McCarthy days and the House Un-American Activities, two separate things, by the way. And McCarthy was correct with respect to the communist infiltration. Now we've got Muslim infiltration that's actually a communistic type system. Can we address that as well as anything remaining about Barry Santoro and his people?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Islamization of America, you're absolutely right. And that's a great analogy with the communism coming over here. Of course, today we don't call it communism, we call it socialism, but it's the same thing, but that's another topic. But it's already happened. I tell people, listen, what's happening in Europe is not coming to America, it's already here. And there's already been beheadings here in America, and a lot more than just a literal only handful that's made it here. Over in Sweden right now, there's a rape epidemic. One out of four women will be raped. I mean, can you imagine your teenage daughter growing up? I got a teenage daughter. Can you imagine telling her, hey, honey, welcome to this country, and hey, if you and your four friends, one of you is going to get it. That's just a part of life. Welcome to life. That's what's going on. But it's already happening here in America. It's being covered up. Now, in our study, Islam, Religion of War and Peace, we expose all this. And let me just share with you just some of the things. And we showed the actual news clips. A lot of them are, you're not going to find it on the major news sources, but we got the local news clips and things of that nature. This is really what's going on around the United States. There's already, it's not coming, there already is an invasion. And what's making it worse is now the onslaught with the immigration issue. But there's already here, let me give you several examples. Because it's everywhere, folks. It's in the government. There's been an invasion in our government, in the court system, in the schools, in the media, etc. But let me just give you some of the examples. Now, courts of law, right? Now, remember we talked before at the opening of the broadcast about Sharia law, right? You disagree with them, you get your hands chopped off, or if you steal, your feet chopped off, you say anything bad about Muhammad, the Quran, or Allah, you're dead, you turn away from Islam, you're dead, you witness to somebody and they turn away from Islam, you're dead, you know, you marry a Muslim lady, you're dead, you know, it's horrid stuff, right? Well, they're already infiltrating into our court systems because they are not going to submit to the Bill of Rights, the Constitution of the United States of America, or our legal court system. They want to bring in Sharia law. And there they're in there, they're buying off politicians, they're buying off judges, and this is what's going on. In fact, there's already a number of court cases, because there are some states that are trying to put up bills to ban Sharia law. But guess who's in there fighting against it? These Muslim groups are in there campaigning with politicians to not sponsor and support such bills. Okay. In fact, several conservative states have been able to pass Sharia law limiting legislation, but only after watering them down, not to even mention the word Sharia. So they're already infiltrating, keeping people from not allowing the ultimate goal. The goal of Islam is global domination for Allah. We have to get that straight. Until you understand that, you're not dealing with reality. Now, that's just the court system. That's just one tiny, 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 tiny example, okay, that we share. We share a lot of examples on our study. School system. Man, this is crazy. What's going on? I'm just going to give you a smattering of some. Right now, believe it or not, in American schools, and some of you listening, you might have already had to deal with this. American schools right now are holding Islamic prayers towards Mecca. Right? And this is some of their homework assignments. Okay? In America, now remember, what's the thing they're saying in public schools? Oh, keep religion out. Which basically, the reality is, it's keep Christianity out. Because anything else goes, including witchcraft and Satanism and all kinds of other stuff. But right now, in America, American schools, certain schools are holding Islamic prayers towards Mecca. Okay? Some universities in America are building Muslim-only washing facilities. Some schools in America are celebrating Muslim holidays, and they're even axing to make room for the Muslim holidays certain U.S. holidays like Veterans Day. That's a mockery. Okay. Some schools right now, folks, check this out. This is all, it's there if you want to look at it. Some schools in America are now reciting the Pledge of Allegiance in Arabic, replacing one nation under God with one nation under Allah. In fact, we have on our the eighth study that we have on our DVD set on Islam, we interviewed three different guys. And one of them, we flew in a pastor from Tennessee and brought him into the studio. And because he found out that his daughter was being taught Islam in the school system. And so he found wind of it and you know, was trying to get people equipped in what their children were being taught, because they're very secret about it. We got this on tape, a personal testimony, in Tennessee, you know. And so basically what happened is it was a part of the Common Core curriculum, these particular textbooks, which the only way he can get the textbooks, and he brought them on the set, and we got them filmed, and you could see the actual textbook. He spent $150 out of his own pocket. He was able to find them online somewhere, okay? And these, because he couldn't get his hands on the textbooks from his daughter in school. You know why? Talk about sneaky. And he exposed this. That school there, teaching kids Islam, which, by the way, the textbook had 30 pages on Islam. 30 pages on Islam. You know how many pages they had on Christianity or Judaism? Zero. This is in America's schools today, folks. Okay? So the reason why he couldn't get his hands on his daughter's textbooks is because what the school was doing is they hand the textbooks out. This is going on as we speak, folks. Hand the textbooks out, teaching them about Islam, and when the class was over, the students had to hand the textbooks back in before they left. Right? And then they would also give the students supplemental homework, and he exposed this whole thing. We get an interview with him. And they would do a supplemental test, like further, like, you know, practice your Muslim name and you know, wear a Muslim garb and, you know, pray towards Mecca and all this other stuff. And the supplement income, and of course it was on the internet, but you could only access it with a special password that they got from the school. Well, first of all, how many parents are even engaged in their kids' activities? Right, that they would do that, and how many parents would even have access to that special password? Which, by the way, he finally got hold of the password, but I think that semester was over, and that password was no longer good anymore, so he couldn't even access that. But anyway, it's crazy, folks. This is what's going on in our school system. Now, in our government, okay, this is crazy. Okay, our government, you have people like guess who? That's right, Barack Hussein Obama, and he certainly can't seem to find much time to go to a Christian church service. And we actually have Michelle Obama on tape with Michael Strahan. This was recent. And he actually asked her about, you know, their level of Christianity. And it was like, you know, for Easter Resurrection Day services, and he says, well, where could we find the Obamas? This is on tape, folks. You got to see it. Where could we find the Obamas on any given Sunday? She said, well, you know, all the girls are busy with school, and we look at Sundays as, you know, pretty much our downtime, and so he pipes back. So basically, any given Sunday, we could find the Obama family lounge around and relaxing on a Sunday, and she agreed. And it's like, oh, so that's your level of Christianity. Now, the irony is that's your so-called level of Christianity, okay, which is apparently you don't go to church services, or as one guy puts it, you go to the Church of St. Mattress with Pastor I.B. Snoozen of the Bedside Sheets Assembly. In other words, you never go, but somehow you're still a Christian, right? But at the same time, that's your so-called level of Christianity, but you find time, Mr. President, you find time to go to an Islamic mosque. This is what recently, this didn't happen that long ago, and that had clear ties with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yep.
What? What are you doing? Right? What's going on? Folks, we're being deceived. But he's not the only one. In fact, we expose this on our study again, Obama, not only does he mock Christians and Christianity at the National Day of Prayer and the Easter prayer breakfast, etc., blah, 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 okay, he used those times, if he would attend these events, but he uses them to mock Christianity, say, well, get off your high horse. If you guys think these Muslims are persecuting, you know, you're guilty of persecution too. What? Complete mockery. Okay. Oh, but at the same time, you find plenty of time and you speak glowingly of the Ramadan celebrations at the White House. And you not only mock the Bible, we got that on tape, okay, and Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, got that on tape, but at the same time, every time you talk about the Quran, it's not just the Quran, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran, the Holy... what is going on here? And it isn't just the president, folks. We have, again, one whole study that just goes down the evidence trail, okay? Is Obama a Muslim? And just take a look at me anyway. The government, we have also, we have congressmen being sworn in using the Quran. Folks, this is happening in our government. In our court
Thomas
system,
Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson was sworn in on a Quran.
Yeah, exactly. But even recently, there was another guy, a U.S. congressman, Keith Ellison, and a Muslim, and that's he was also done that as well. But it's like, you crazy. We were supposed to, you know, supposed to be a Christian nation, you know, swearing on the Bible. But it's like, what's going on here? And again, Islam has invaded our government, our court system, everything. But let me give you this one. This one is really, to me, extremely concerning. Islamic groups, which would include the Muslim Brotherhood, there's another big group out there called CAIR, C-A-I-R is the acronym, and it stands for the Council on American Islamic Relations. Okay, they have penetrated the highest levels, folks, of our government. Okay. Now, I don't think it's been too hard for them because of our current president is clearly showing favoritism. But listen to some of the positions we have Muslim advisors. Listen to this. Okay. The White House now has a White House Muslim advisor who has counterpart Muslim advisors at the U.S. Department of Justice and the FBI and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, whose senior fellow Mohammed El-Abiyari recently declared on a Twitter statement that USA, he believes, is a, quote, Islamic country. I'm not making this up. Now again, let's do the analogy here. You know, you brought up earlier communism, and I think that's will be a fair comparison. I'll even use, again, during World War II, the Nazis. What if we were to say this is what happened during World War II? The news came out. You know, they announced this on the news. Attention, American people. We've just found out that the Nazi Party has penetrated the highest levels of the U.S. government. The White House now has, this is during World War II, the White House now has a Nazi advisor, and there's also a Nazi advisor in the U.S. Department of Justice, and there's Nazi advisors in the FBI. Of course, they didn't have the Department of Homeland Security, but let's just throw in the CIA. How would that sound? Oh, and by the way, we have a person in the government who's saying that we are now a Nazi country. How would that fly with the American people? Folks, that's what's going on right now. Yeah, it's going on right now in our country. It's like nobody's talking about this. Are you crazy? It's a setup, folks. It's a complete setup. And again, Jesus said in the last days, deceit, deceit, deceit. Man, it's going to be so powerful. People are going to be snookered right and left. In fact, if you're not careful, even the elect are going to fall for this baloney. Okay? And on it goes, folks. And clear favoritism are being shown to Muslims at the expense of other people. You know, I got to share this. There's an actual practice. You know, because people said this. They'll say, well, I talked to a Muslim guy or person or whatever, and they said, oh, no, I would never do anything of that nature. Not me. I will always support the United States laws. And are you, folks, check this out. I'm not making this up. There is an actual practice in the Muslim community, and it's called, I don't know if this is correct pronunciation, but I'll spell it for you. I just pronounce it taqiyya. It's T-A-Q-I-Y-Y-A. I'll spell it again. T-A-Q-I-Y-Y-A. Now, Muslims, basically what that is called Islamic deception. And Muslims are taught it is perfectly fine to deceive the kafar, which is you and I, the non-Muslim, okay, about their true beliefs in order to defend the cause of Islam and jihad. Okay? So, which means, let me translate that for you. They are encouraged lie to somebody's face, lie on TV, lie through their teeth, and it's perfectly fine as long as it's advancing the cause of Islam and jihad. This is an actual practice. I'm not making this up. Okay, this is what's going on. So when you talk to people or you see the talking heads, oh, you know, they always pit one against the other. Oh, well, we have these Islamic terrorists, and at least they're going to admit what they're doing. And then you get some guy up there, oh, no, real Islam, you're lying. You're either a fake Muslim or you're lying. You're practicing taqiyya. 60% of the Quran contains verses about killing the non-Muslim folks and forcing them to live under their form of law. This is the fact. And since 9/11, listen to this, Muslims have committed over 23,000 acts of terror. 90% of all terrorist acts are committed by Muslims. Okay? And here we are, bending over backwards, letting them in, when their intended agenda, according to their own so-called holy book, is to destroy us and bring about world domination and submission to Allah. Okay? And then we entertain Muslims going on TV trying to tell us that, oh, no, they're not terrorists. And they would never do this. And they would always adhere by the Constitution or laws. And folks, we're being lied to. The actual deceit, okay, that Jesus warned about, this deceit is a practice in Islam. It's crazy, and people have no idea.
No, you're exactly right. People don't have any idea. They think it is a patriotic duty. They think it is out of compassion. And they want to be, you know, tolerant, so to speak. And they say, you know, this is a good thing. And even the Pope had come out and said, the Arab invasion is a good thing for Europe. Right after that, we had terror attacks in Paris and then in the most recent one. In Brussels. And to see the Pope, I mean, he's made a lot of off the wall comments in his tenure so far, but to embrace this, I find very troubling. And it just shows the level of how far up the chain the agenda goes.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
If I can just add to this, one of the more verbose and extremely well recognized experts on the Islamization of America. In fact, he wrote a book of that title, Abdullah El Arabi, devotes an entire chapter to what you spoke about with respect to the principle of taqiyya, which means prevention or guarding against, and that principle conveys the understanding, as just as you said, so that Muslims are permitted to lie as a preventative measure to guard against anticipated harm to oneself or to fellow Muslims, and it gives them the right to lie under any circumstances where they can advance the agenda of Islam for the purpose of conquering a nation. And he cites passages in the Quran, Surah 328. Now, people might be listening to this and saying, oh, we know this. We know all this. Well, if you know this, then why aren't we, you know, why don't you fight back? Why isn't there a pushback? Why allow us to be steamrolled over? So it's imperative that we must understand that Muslim leaders, can use this religious loophole, which, by the way, I was looking for that lying loophole in our Holy Bible. Didn't find it. Anyway. They can use this lying loophole to absolve themselves from any permanent commitment. So, you know, it's when dealing with Muslims, what they say is not the issue. The real issue is what they actually mean in their hearts. Think about that. Wow. All right.
Well, you know, so, another thing that they're, if I can interject that, that they're lying about is, again, I keep telling people, ISIS isn't the problem. It's Islam. And it's not that it's coming here to America. It's already here. Folks, it is a powder keg waiting to blow. Okay, and again, I have my theory as to why you create a crisis, you can manage the outcome, but it's worse than people could ever dream. The Islamization has been in high gear for quite some time. In fact, in our research, we came across that our government knows that there are Islamic compounds throughout the United States. And these aren't just compounds, these are, and let me quote, underground bunkered paramilitary Islamic compounds in the United States of America. Okay, and there, and this is what we came across. There's at least 35 such compounds in the United States across 22 states. And I don't think, you know, my brain, you know, with experience, was okay. If you're going to release that to the public, what's really out there, right?
Exactly.
It's already here. It's already here, just waiting to go off, and we are being absolutely deceived. Now, again, they say, well, you know, again, I think that, you know, Muslims here in America, you know, they're going to help put it. Are you kidding, folks? This is another big topic, right? And a lot of people are facing the heat for, right? They say, well, if you don't believe that, Muslim, about this jihad and this horrible, then when you find these people hanging out in your community, turn them in. But guess what they don't do? They don't turn them in. You know why? Because they believe the same thing, right? Let me share this stat with you. 58% of Muslims in the United States of America, 58% say criticism of Islam or Muhammad should not be protected under free speech. What? That doesn't sound like you're coming over here and assimilating into the American culture.
Not at all.
Right? 45% of American Muslims right now believe mockers of Islam should face criminal charges. Well, what's the criminal charge? Well, what's the criminal charge according to Sharia law? You die. That's almost half of the Muslims, at least who would admit, who's not doing taqiyya, okay, admit that this is what you want in the United States of America. And again, you had mentioned the Pope. I mean, we exposed this one. Do you guys remember that? Remember when Trump mentioned about the wall and stuff, and the Pope came out and said, you know, the wall, that's bad, that's not being Christian, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Hey, we went out, and I shared this with the congregation. We got a satellite photograph of Vatican City. And do you know what is surrounding Vatican City?
A huge wall with the most restrictive immigration policy to boot.
Isn't that absolutely crazy? People go nuts. And it's like, are you the total hypocrisy. And you're right. It ain't just a wall. This thing's a huge, massive thing. We show pictures of that, too. It's crazy, folks. But I'm telling you, it's a powder keg waiting to happen. What you're seeing in Europe could happen at any moment here in the United States, folks. Oh, and by the way, again, a lot of it is happening. It's just the media is covering it up. So it's much more further than people think. But again, we begin to expose what's really going on. In Europe with the Muslim and the immigration issue, okay? But again, the people over there, the Muslims, when they go to, it isn't just the United States, when they go to Europe, pick a country, Germany, Sweden, the UK, whatever, they are not going to submit to that country's rules. And it's the same thing here. They want to bring about Sharia law. They want to bring about all people on the planet to submit to the will of Allah. That's what they're there for. And one of their, if they can't get you through penetrating the government or the school system or the media or your court system, they will take over by sheer numbers. And that's another thing that we expose. The birth rate of the Islamic communities is far out pacing anything, like 8-1, basically, roughly, to other entities. Because of the birth rate, because over here we're told that, you know, kids are bad, don't have kids, anti-kids, no kids. Man, they're having kids right and left. So just given a generation or two, even if they didn't want to penetrate the government and the school system and the media, which they are, okay, they're going to take over by sheer numbers in a very short amount of time. It's all a planned attack, folks. Okay, in fact, let me share with you some other polling data. A poll, 81% of respondents from an Al Jazeera poll recently approved of the behavior of ISIS. These are from Muslims, folks. Okay? And on and on it goes. That these people, they want ISIS, they want Sharia law, and these are people, again, even in our own country. But again, what happens to your country when this gets imposed? Most people don't talk about that. You know, I mentioned about the rape epidemic. Folks, that is a real issue. But not only that, economically, it is destroying countries economically. Okay, let me give you some statistics on welfare. What happens when you a lot of these immigrants come in? 91.4% of Middle Eastern refugees, okay, receive food stamps. 73.1% were on Medicaid, okay, and 68.3% were on cash welfare. Okay, now there's a system here, and these guys are abusing it. In Canada, listen to what's going on in Canada with the Muslim immigrants. Okay, this was brought out by the Toronto Sun. Okay, hundreds of Greater Toronto Area Muslim men in polygamous marriages, yes, some with a harem of wives, are receiving welfare and social benefits for each of their spouses thanks to the city and province. So these guys are not only committing polygamy, okay, in the country, but every single one of their wives is on welfare, and these guys are sitting back raking in the dough, not doing anything. Okay, in the Netherlands, 50 to 70% of Muslim asylum seekers are permanently on welfare. Okay, in fact, in Sweden, okay, approximately 7 billion, not million, 7 billion every year is being spent on this issue, and has greatly contributed to bringing the Swedish welfare state on the brink of bankruptcy. Okay, again, back to the issue of what else is going on that they're not talking about by and large in the media. Again, with the rape and the sexual assaults, etc., that's going on. And again, where are the feminist groups on this issue? Why aren't you speaking on this? Because when the Muslim men do these crimes to women and rape them, okay, you know what their excuse is? Well, it's their fault because they dress that way. Where are the feminists crying out on this? Are you kidding me? Folks, this is really what's going on. In certain places in the UK, they're actually gathering up hundreds of girls into basically harems, and they're turning them into sex slaves, and this is happening in the UK. Okay? How come we don't ever hear about that? Where's all the feminists? How come people aren't talking about this? Sex crimes over and over and over again. And again, we even share this on tape. We even actually shared some news clips from Sweden because you're going, are you serious? One out of every four is going to be raped? Yeah. Okay? And it's a catastrophic effect, okay, that's happening over there. And again, we share the actual news clips because it sounds like, you've got to be kidding me. Is that really going on? And again, we are fooling ourselves, folks, if we think that this is not going to happen here in America. Now, again, we already document these even rape cases, okay, are happening here in the United States, okay, but again, they're trying to keep a hush-hush on it. Over and over again, these guys are not coming here, okay, to assimilate to our culture. They are coming over to take over our culture, and they will lie, they will do whatever they got to do to get the job done. And until we deal with that issue, that's why I keep saying this, ISIS is not the problem, Islam is. And until we deal with it at the root, folks, we are in a heap of trouble.
Absolutely.
How soon, Pastor, before here in America that we will not be able to have conversations like this because it will be against the law? How soon do you think?
Well, it could happen, frankly, at any time. And I think one of the big things, and I've been warning the church, certainly here at Sunrise, but you know, through the media as well, for a long time, I think one of the biggest things outside this issue, there's two issues I think that is going to come down on the Christian community to basically silence the pulpit, at least the pulpit that preaches the truth, God's truth, and or the Christian, because it's not just Christian pastors they're going to come down on. It's going to be any Christian. And that's that issue, if you guys are familiar with, obviously, with the hate crime, right? What's considered a hate crime now? There's two big things that the world hates, and they're now considering a crime. Number one is you have the audacity to say that homosexuality is wrong. That's a hate crime now. Okay. Number two, you have the audacity to say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They can't stand it. So those two issues, and certainly that comes up with this Islam issue, when you try to expose what Islam really is, what do? Oh, they go nuts, right, in the media.
Oh, how could you be so intolerant? Who do you think you are that to dishonor somebody's path to heaven? They're peaceful people, and this is the kind of thing that causes wars. Don't you know that religion is the main cause of war? Folks, that's a lie from the pit of hell. We actually demonstrated that with another researcher, Carl Tyker from Canada. He exposed this, and we shared this, too, in our final countdown study. We doing the research, you know what the major cause of war is? It ain't religion. That's a lie. When, you know what the facts are? It's
money.
Politics. Money, politics, greed, government. It's not religion, okay? But that's being used as an excuse. Oh, how could you speak against that other religion? Don't you know all religions got to get along? If all religions can get along, and this is their excuse to build the one world religion the Bible said would come on the scene in the last days, then we could all have peace on the planet. But, oh, look at you. You're saying something bad about Islam or whoever, and that's a hate crime. So that's number one. Number two, again, back to the homosexual issue, and it's now gone into turbo mode because of the Supreme Court decision, right? How dare you say that this is wrong? And again, to dovetail off of that, that's why when that issue went down here in Vegas, we did a study called A Christian's Response to the Supreme Court Decision, a four-part study. If anything, get it for the fourth study. The fourth study is an apologetic study. I put together 15 accusations railed against you and I as the Christian from that community and from the press that we are being homophobic, we're being hateful, we're intolerant, we're bigots, you know, and then, hey, if two people love one another, what's the big deal? We're not hurting anybody, on and on and on and on it goes. If anything, get that last study to get equipped how to lovingly, biblically, philosophically, logically answer truthfully all those accusations railed against us, because every basic one of those accusations railed against us is basically keep your mouth shut. And folks, here in America right now, that's the last thing we need to do. We need people who have a spiritual backbone who will speak up and tell the truth. Why? Because the truth is what sets people free, right? And it's the same
Absolutely.
Thing even with Islam. I got to share this because I don't want to come across as like, I'm missing the solution. And this may sound kind of crass, but bear with me. Do you want to keep somebody from keeping your head, from chopping your head off? Do you want to keep somebody from raping you? Do you want to keep somebody from doing some horrible thing to you and or your country? Share the gospel with them. Because true born-again Christians don't do that. We need to reach out to the Muslim community. We need to reach out to the media. We need to reach out to anybody we can get our hands on. And we need to get busy speaking up in love the truth, including the truth about the gospel, and engage our culture if there's any hope. But keeping your mouth shut, I remember, in fact, when, that is not an option, okay? In fact, I remember when I was going into this study, and I was now saying, hey, in a couple of weeks, Lord Wilmer, looks like we're going to start getting into the topic of Islam. And there were people saying, hey, you sure you want to do that? And, they might come after you. I was like, listen, this is why we're in this mess, because people are keeping silent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people say, hey, don't you know that they're aware of, what's going on? It's like, well, read your Bible, Christian, right? Man is not the one who's going to take this life. Job 14:5, read it and go to sleep. It says this, God has determined the length of your lives, and we are not given a minute longer. Man does not take my life. When Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate said, hey, you better answer me. Don't you know I have the authority to take, excuse me? What did Jesus say? Excuse me, in the crone vernacular. Excuse me, pal? You have no authority over me other than what my Father allows, right? God is the one who's in charge. Now, he may use man to take me out, okay? Unless, and if it is, what's my reward? Praise God, I'm not going to hell by the blood and forgiveness and grace and work of Jesus Christ on the cross, okay? Where am I going? I'm going to heaven. Okay, so threaten me with heaven. Ooh, okay? but as Christians, we need to get a backbone, right? We need to speak
Amen.
Up. This is not a time to keep your mouth shut. And again, not just on, I want to win a debate and prove that Islam is a false religion. No, ultimately, it's a platform to let people know about Jesus. But we can't, because again, if you want, the best thing you could do for your family, the best thing you could do for your community and your country is start preaching Jesus Christ. And we don't need another political savior. There is no political savior that can save us. We need Jesus Christ. And until the church wakes up and realizes that, we're in even trouble, folks. And, how many times does the church say, oh, we need revival, we pray for revival, pray? And I've been saved now 23 years. Okay? Ever since I've been saved, I've been watching the American church, in my opinion, all due respect, pray backwards when it comes to revival. When the American church typically prays for revival today, they pray, if you will, their eyes closed, but their fingers are pointing outside the sanctuary four walls. God, bring revival to them. Read your Bible. The scripture says, if my people, not the world, if my people will humble themselves and pray, right? Seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, then God will. Revival is not for the world, it is for the church. And as Christians, we need to get serious in our walk with Jesus Christ, get serious about God's truth, begin to share that truth, and back that truth up with a holy life. Guess what happens to your community? Revival breaks out. But until we get that and turn it around the correct direction, stop pointing your finger out there, start pointing your finger, Christian, at your own heart, and until we get right with God, nothing's going to change.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. We have about 15 minutes left in closing. At the Hear the Watchman conference, you put on a fantastic presentation and had some video clips and evidence of things that I haven't even seen pertaining to the rise of the drones, DARPA, the, I would say, what is described in Joel's Army, the threats we are facing from this, the ever-increasing surveillance state. You have a great DVD on the Mark of the Beast, RFID, the Mark of the Beast. And if you could, in the last 15 minutes of the show, could you give a brief synopsis of this technological scientific dictatorship that we are on the verge of being forced to become a part of, or either being forced to become a part of, or going to have to be in the wilderness?
And that by the way, folks, visit his website, Get a Life Ministries, but it's getalifemedia.com. Visit his website, because that's your April special, right? For the attack of the drones.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, on that topic in general, we have a couple other studies. We have 80 studies on Bible prophecy called the Final Countdown. There's the Final Countdown, the original, that's 50 studies, and there's another 30 on top of that for the total of 80 called the Final Countdown Update. And a chock full of news clips, all that stuff is kind of the same format as you guys saw in Dallas at the conference on the drone documentary. And but the reason why I talk about that is because in the Final Countdown study, both studies, we have eight studies on Big Brother technology. We got one study, one whole DVD, it's just on Big Brother and your cell phone. Check that out.
Okay.
And that's a whole nother. Yeah, and I'm telling you, it's crazy. And but also, you talk about the Mark of the Beast and things of that nature. Yeah, we have a documentary called RFID, Man's Greatest Invention, Mark of the Beast. But also, back to the Final Countdown study, we have 12 studies just on the Mark of the Beast technology and how far that has progressed. But on the drone documentary, that was actually birthed out of when I was going through the Final Countdown update, and I had three stacks of research still up to my desk that I had left over that I hadn't even got to, and I need to move on to another study. And at first I was kind of bummed out. I was like, man, when am I going to get to this? And the stuff that's just happening is going so fast, and this technology and what's going on. And so Reed, a gentleman who master editor and does all of her video work and everything else you can think of, and distributor and everything, and he said, well, hey, why don't you just do a documentary? He's like, oh, I didn't think about that. And so that's how it turned into a documentary, and 14 hours. On that, just from that one stack of research, and I had a lot, and I thought I knew a lot, but as I began to go down that rabbit trail, it got way creepier than I could ever dream. I mean, there was already a lot, but it's just like, you got to be kidding me. Where does this stop? And even after finishing that documentary, which was not that long ago, again, and 14 hours of exposing this, there's about 180 video clips from around the world exposing what's going on with this technology, folks. And it was just absolutely crazy. It's still happening today. And I'm cataloging even more stuff, even post the documentary. But basically, in a nutshell, folks, what they are building is the Skynet scenario. I'm not making this up. And that would even include the Terminator robots.
Yep.
I'm not making this up.
You showed video of that.
Yeah, and that's from Boston Dynamics, okay? And that was their latest version. And again, the general rule is this. If that's what you release to the public, and they just came out with that, the clip I showed in Dallas, that was hot off the press. If that's what you're going to show and release to the public, we're at least a good 30 years, if not more, behind the actual technology. So what do you really got out there? Okay? But again, it's literally a true Skynet scenario. Drones are everywhere. Drones, and these are the military around the world. It's not just the United States. They got drones of all kinds of shapes and sizes. There's drones in the air. There's drones on the ground. There's drones on the water. There's drones under the water. There is no place you're going to be able to hide. And it's at the same time being combined with artificial intelligence. They've been working for years, folks. DARPA's been working for years on what's called neuromorphic chips. They're brain chips that mimic the human brain. And these things are what's now controlling on a global basis this drone technology, including the Terminator robots technology, and they're arming these things. And then what people don't realize is, hey, well, you know, if I see a drone flying in the sky or coming at me on the water or on the ground, I will just run and hide. No, you won't, because the other thing they're doing with drones is they're mimicking nature. And they're making them miniaturized. They're called MAVs, micro area vehicles. Okay, and they're mimicking nature. And we share actual video clips. See, you thought that was a cheetah? That's not a cheetah. That's a you thought that was a shark? No, that's not a shark. You thought that was a fly? No, that's not a fly. A bird? A lizard? How about an octopus? A squid? No. How about a lobster crawling on the bottom of the ocean floor? No. Every single one of those. Beetles? Spiders? Folks, I kid you not, everyone that I just, and that's not all of them, everyone I just announced, those are actual drones. And even the ones down to the fly level, this is from an Air Force clip, and we share this again on the documentary, actually carries a payload. So there's no place to hide. These things can fly in, no pun intended, fly in, and you think it's not a fly. That fly will take you out. Okay, you think it's a bird on a wire? That bird on the wire is monitoring you. In fact, it's been sitting there for 2 weeks watching you. Oh, and it operates by solar technology, so it can stay there forever. And folks, it looks like nature. So the point is, you won't even recognize it as a drone when it's coming to you, right? And they're armed to the teeth. Okay, and again, they're miniaturized, and so you may not even be able to see it. Okay, and again, this is all being combined on a global basis. Okay, and it's being controlled via artificial intelligence. And again, the premise that I shared at the Dallas conference was, I think this actually has a part to play in the last days with Bible prophecy. Because when you read the events during the seven-year tribulation, you see a couple judgments in the first half, in the sealed judgments. You see one-fourth of the planet being annihilated. Okay? Then in the second half, when you see the trumpet judgments, you see that another third of the Earth. Now, if you do the math with current statistics, that's about half the planet just in those two judgments. Okay? Half the planet, folks, right, is going to be annihilated just in those two judgments. Now, that's not counting all the other atrocities, but if you just take those two, one half the planet is going to be annihilated. And dare I say, contextually, I think it's not going to be in a long, drawn-out time frame, right? Because, again, and I don't think it's going to be nuclear warfare, if you think about it. Because if the global war that breaks out in the sealed judgments, the first half of the seven-year tribulation, if the reason why people died, right, one-fourth of the planet was nuclear winter, you know, then I don't think you could see the rest of the events unfold, because you see mankind still moving forward and the Antichrist going up into the rebuilt Jewish temple. I mean, if there was a nuclear holocaust, you're done. So the question then remains, well, wait a second, if you're not going to use nuclear warfare, do we have the technology on the planet to annihilate half the planet in a relatively short amount of time? Folks, combine it with global artificial intelligence, tapping in to a universal system, a Skynet system, that controls drones in the air, on the ground, in the water, under the water, which, by the way, also come with swarm technology, so they work together and communicate with each other. Combine it with Terminator robots, all armed to the teeth, on the ground. Hollywood just became reality. I wish I was making this up. I got a wife. I got two young kids. I got two cool dogs. But folks, this is what's going on in our world today. And if in fact that's going to be a piece of the tool that the Antichrist is going to use during the seven-year tribulation, we don't know the day nor the hour, but folks, we better get motivated.
Amen to that.
You're absolutely right. And I just want to say this. I mentioned, I said Thomas Jefferson was sworn in on a Corona. Apparently, I was not correct on that. I have to do some further research because I have conflicting reports here. But
yeah, he did own a Quran. As a matter of fact, Keith Ellison, Snopes, since you brought up Snopes, by the way, and I know we're going backwards, says Keith Ellison was not sworn in on a Quran. Well, yeah, you might be technically accurate, but practically not so much. So, but having said that, yeah, thanks for that clarification. And thanks to the emailers who
Yeah, thanks, Bill.
Made that. All right.
All right, we have just a few minutes left, Pastor. You want to tell the audience where you're going to be having upcoming interviews, upcoming appearances? And I know that can be found on your website.
Yeah, actually, if you just go to our website there at getalifemedia.com and scroll down there on the front page, you're going to have an itinerary. Here soon, we're going to be heading, Lord willing, to New Jersey for the folks on the East Coast, if you're in the area. Then after that, we're going to be in Colorado Springs, Lord willing. And after that, Lord willing, we'll be in Scotland. And
Scotland?
Yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, apparently those people need to know the gospel, too. So sometimes you get Fargo, sometimes you get Scotland. I don't know, what are you going to do? So, no. But Gettysburg, probably going back to Gettysburg. That's always a treat to be able to speak God's truth in such a place, Gettysburg, huh? And then we're booking into Lord willing, if we're still alive and still here, we're already booking into 2017. Got a couple things lined up in Canada again. So,
oh wow, you know, and this is why we need to support Pastor Billy Crone. I mean, look at what he's doing. Look at his ministry. Look at who he's helping. Look at how he's traveling. God bless you, Pastor. I mean, really, you really are on the front lines. Actually, on the front lines. And it's so great to be able to be a part of the revival that you're promoting, that you're causing, that you're facilitating. And it's just thank you for allowing us to be a part of that. And
well, thank you guys, and you know the glory certainly goes to the Lord. I just Sunday I was saved 23 years ago on Easter, Resurrection Sunday, 1993, and so I shared my testimony again. And it's always a special time for me, Resurrection Day, not only to honor the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but that's when I was raised from the dead too, spiritually. And it's always a treat for me. But hey, I remember where I came from, man. I'm just a scourge of society, a 1980s ex-headbanger, drug addict, sex moral, male chauvinist pig guy, involved in the occult and New Age, and I hated Christians and Christianity. I was the biggest skeptic there was. But that's why, when you're under that lie, and I saw the fruit of it, with demonic activity, and it was horrid. Right, but when you come, as the scripture says, when God rescues you from the kingdom of darkness and brings you into the kingdom of light, His Son Jesus Christ, it's like, man, truth, truth is what people need, right? It's the deception, the darkness that's killing everything, and it's just, as Christians, that's what we're supposed to be about. The truth will set people free, not only certainly in salvation through Jesus Christ. As the truth, but also we need truth today as the antidote to all the lies, all the deceit. I was the first guy on the front lines there back in the day. I would sit there and say, hey, the Bible, it's Christians are a bunch of, idiots, intellectually inept, had to have a book tell them what to do, and that book will just brainwash you, and that's all the preachers want is your money. I was that guy. Right.
Wow.
Now the irony was, I would make all these claims against the Bible that it was full of errors and contradictions, but I was the real hypocrite, because did I ever investigate? Did I ever read the Bible? No. And the whole time I had this intellectual bravado, like this is my own intelligent thinking and synopsis, and I've come to this conclusion on my own with my own intelligence. No, I wasn't. I was parodying what the media and the secular education was telling me to think about Christianity to keep me from investigating the claims of Christianity. Get in there, find out what real Christianity is all about. And unfortunately, in these days, oftentimes you can't even find it in the church. But you know what? Get into the Bible. The real Jesus, He'll never lie to you. He is the truth. And He loves you, and no matter what you've done, I've been there, done that, He's willing to forgive you, to cleanse you from all sin, and give you the polar opposite of what you deserve. He'll take you from a road headed to hell, like I was. And by His graciousness and goodness, He'll take you to heaven. And before you get there, He'll do something splendid with you if you would just surrender all to Him. And He'll use you to lead many souls to Him. There's no greater joy than leading people to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Absolutely true.
Boy, we've been so blessed to have you, Pastor. Pastor Billy Crone, getalifemedia.com. Get a Life Media and Get a Life Ministry. Wow. I almost said miniseries.
GetALifeMedia.com.
Thank you.
GetALifeMedia.com. GetALifeMinistriesInc.
Right.
But Yeah, Pastor, it has been great. It was so wonderful to see you and talk with you at the Hear the Watchman Conference. I hope we have the opportunity in the future to meet in person again and sit down and have a cup of coffee. And we'd love to have you back on the show at any time. And keep up your good work, and God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you guys for, again, having me.
Thank you, sir.
Anytime.
All right. Folks, that was Pastor Billy Crone. Again, Get a Life Media. Well, you know what? GetALifeMedia.net is the accurate.
Is it?
Yeah. But I apologize for that. GetALifeMedia.net. Anyway, what a great interview. And we're going to have a link up to his website as well. So, there won't be any issues. Just so much information tonight, folks. Just so much information. It send him a note of thanks for his gift of time, too.
GetALifeMedia.com. Okay. But there might be a .net site also. Enjoy, sign up for his newsletter. It's on the left-hand side of the top. And check out his church services, streaming live Sunday, 10:45 a.m., Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time.
Thanks, folks, for joining us. God bless you. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.